This morning we're going to focus on the passage from Philippians. I added a little bit more to it. Sometimes I have that prerogative. But anyway, Paul wrote the book to the church at Philippi while he was in prison awaiting his trial. He wrote to encourage the Philippians to live out their lives as citizens of a heavenly kingdom by a growing commitment in the service to God and to each other. Philippians 1:27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. We are called to unity, not in a sports team, not in a political person or a political party or a political platform, not in a media star or social media influencer or whatever, but we are called to unity, and we're called to have one mind, the mind of Christ. And to show Christ's example of humility. Let me read part of the scripture that we didn't read in the beginning this morning, the first few verses of chapter 2. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being full of one accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look at not your own interest, but to the interest of others. And then we begin with the reading from Philippians. Have this mind among yourselves. So if there is any encouragement, that if is not there to make us question whether there is or not, it's there to make us examine ourselves. Do you have any encouragement in Christ? Do you have any comfort from love? Do you have any participation in the Spirit? Any affection and sympathy? Do you have those things? These things are reminders of the four chords or several chords that bind us together. Encouragement in Christ. The blessing of knowing Christ and being found in Christ and being given the gift of faith. The consolation of love. The love of Christ comforts us. We are His and He is ours. We love one another because of the love that flows from Him. His love makes us love each other. We share in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit unites us as brothers and sisters, as partners in the gospel, helps us in our weakness, convicts us in our wrongness, strengthens us in our worship and love. It gives us knowledge of the Scriptures, knowledge of God. And we worship by the Spirit of God. We share affection and mercy or sympathy. or tenderness that comes from our union with Christ, who has shown us infinite affection and compassion. Let me read to you from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all that our iniquity, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from the pit, who crowns us with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies us with good, so that our youth is renewed like that of an eagle. For an old codger like me, renewing my life like an eagle, like a youth, is a wonderful thing. And I thank God for that, that he has that ability to let me look at life anew every day, to enjoy his presence. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. We must be united in one mind, one mentality, remembering our identity in Christ and our common mission to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. It's March Madness. Now you can take that however you want to. But you see people united in different teams, I should say. And they're very strong in the pursuit of that team and that identity. They wear the uniforms of the colors of their team, with the numbers of their team, and the whole world stops when their team comes on to play on TV. Their schedule is worked around the brackets of the NAACP. The NCAA, I'm sorry. Maybe it is. Maybe that one's in this group. Their identity is found in their team, or in their politician, or maybe in their favorite music video or song. But Paul is reminding us that our unity and identity is in Christ. How do we express our unity? How do we show that we are unified? That we're united? Christ-like humility, avoiding rivalry, seeking to glorify Jesus and not ourselves. We follow Jesus, not the culture. So remember that as Maundy Thursday comes up and your favorite team is playing, or Good Friday, or the Easter Saturday vigil, or Easter Sunday morning. Maybe you need to reprioritize what's going on in your life. We have to avoid conceit or vain glory, empty glory, glory that doesn't exist, glory that builds up ourselves and not God. We have to ask ourselves some questions. Am I competing for people's attention or approval? Do I find it difficult or easy to rejoice in the success of others? Do I think I am superior to people? Am I really concerned about the needs of people? When you're listening to someone talk to you, and you're having a conversation, are you really listening, or are you just waiting for them to catch their breath so you can say something about yourself? Are you really interested in what that person to say. You come in here on Sunday morning and serve so that people will see you serve. We will never have unity as a church without having humility. Romans 12:16 says, be in agreement with one another. Don't be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. We must be sensitive to the needs of others and to the interests of others. John Stott said, at every stage of our Christian development and in every sphere of our Christian discipleship, pride is the greatest enemy and humility is our greatest friend. How can we grow in our humility? One way is reflecting on the cross of Christ. There's a song, How Deep, by Gideon Townsend. And it says, it was my sin that held him there until it was gone. Jesus, being fully God and fully man, could continue to cross that cross at any time he wanted to. But it was our sin that held it there. It was our transgressions that placed him there. The only way that God could reconcile us to him was through the death of his Son, who was fully God and fully man. Yet he was without sin. So one way to remind us that we need to be humble is to look at the cross of Christ. We need to reflect on the glory of Christ. All that Christ did while he was here, his teachings, his miracles, all were done for the glory of God. Do all that we do bring God glory? Do our thoughts, do our actions, our reactions, our emotions bring God glory? We need to reflect on God's Word. Can we say truthfully, I need your word more than I need bread? Your word is greater than my needs. Your word fills me in a way that I can never be filled on my own. Your word brings me peace and comfort. It brings me conviction. Isaiah 66:2 says, I will look favorably on this kind of person, one who is humble, submissive in spirit, and trembles at my word. We need to grow in humility through prayer. Grow in humility through prayer. Have you ever heard anyone say that I was listening to what they said and the only thing I could do was pray? If you said that, and if what I say after that offends you, it's okay. When we say that, at the least I could do was pray. What we're saying is, I have run out of anything to help this person with. That everything in my repertoire of things to say is completely gone. Well, why in the world did you think you could fix them anyway? You can't fix yourself. That's what Jesus did. Our prayerlessness shows our great belief, our conceit, thank you, and our ability to fix ourselves or others, showing our lack of humility and our trust and faith in God. I often wonder on Sunday mornings, as we have our prayer team in the back, why the line's not wrapped around this room. We all need prayer to help us through the next minute, the next day, the next hour. Is it our pride and conceit that keeps us seated? Do we really think we can fix ourselves? Or maybe we think God can't. We can grow in our humility by serving others. Last Saturday, we had a project with Operation Inasmuch, cleaning up some vacant lots there on Hillsborough Street. That not a call of all of you who went. It's a wonderful thing. And we have one coming up April the 11th, is that right, Ed? Where we feed the hungry. And that's a wonderful thing to do, too. But how else can you serve others? How can you serve others every day? Or maybe even every hour? How can you serve each other here? Well, see me after the service or Elijah, and I have a few suggestions. Have this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus, who, I'm going to stop right there. What we have just gone through, I pray, is showing you the mind of Christ. The mind of our Savior. And show you the identity that we have in Him. And how we show that in acts of kindness, but mostly in our act of humility. Having this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped. You see the humility in that passage. You see the humility in what Christ did. And you see the obedience of what Christ did. He who was here in the beginning, as John 1 says, and was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, he was in the beginning with God. Took off, put aside, healed, a God thing. He was still God. You can tell that in his teachings, in his miracles, in walking on water, healing the blind, bringing Lazarus back. But he was also fully man. What a step down from being God of the universe, the creator of the world. He could have held on to those as the King of Glory. But he didn't, showing what benevolent generosity and service and humility look like. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. This coming Thursday, we will have Maundy Thursday service. And for those of you who are brave enough to attend, and ladies, you may want to get a pedicure, we will have a foot washing service. God took the towel, put around his legs, and went and washed the feet of his disciples, who just a little bit before were arguing about who would be the greatest in his kingdom. The King of Glory washed dirty, nasty people. Of people who would desert and run away and deny. He who was always God became what he was not, a human being. A sinless human being. And people recognized him as a human being. There wasn't a halo. There wasn't a glow around him. If you remember what we read from Isaiah, they despised his appearance. There was nothing special. He wasn't born in a great city. He was born in Bethlehem. He lived in Bethlehem, in Nazareth. He himself said he had nowhere to lay his head. He was, as we would say today, homeless. And he humbled himself voluntarily. He went to the cross voluntarily. The Romans didn't humble him. Pilate didn't humble him. Herod didn't humble him. The high priest didn't humble him. He humbled himself and submitted to the most vilest of executions. Being nailed to a cross, being flogged, being beaten, crown of thorns. He submitted himself to it. On a cross for us, his love for us. The poor, sinful, pitiful blades of grass that there are. Remember the song from earlier? Our sins held him there until it was accomplished. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, that every knee will bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Highly exalted, to super elevate, exalted in a class by himself. He re-entered the glory that he enjoyed before the world existed. John 17:5. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Every conceivable place where there are people, every language, every dialect will confess Jesus as Lord. Some will confess with great joy and humility. Some will confess with despair and anguish. And all of it will be to the glory of God the Father. As we close, I'm going to leave you with some questions. Or leave us with some questions. Are we living our lives in humility? Are we bringing glory to God? Do we have the mindset of Christ? Are we putting others and their interests ahead of our own? Are we loving God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind? And are we loving our neighbor as ourselves? As we journey through this Holy Week, I think these questions are very important for us to look at. As we hear about Jesus cleansing the temple, and all the things that goes on this week, we need to look at it with humility. We need to look at it questioning ourselves and wondering how well we're doing. And maybe actually praying that God, through the power of His Spirit, will convict us in the areas that we need His help. Shall we pray?